Gavrilek, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Grand final week in the junior football world around the country. A big week for us here on the draft and AFL draft watchers around the country. Welcome back. This is episode 5. My name is Jordan Pinto, again joined by Dan Batten over in Victoria. The SANF Under 18, Under 16 grand finals are on this weekend. So it's a big NAB League decider over in Victoria. And Dan, last week, Mateus Filippoi got some good feedback on that. He was great to have on board, but we've got another one lined up and probably an even bigger show this week, I think.
Yeah, especially with what's to come, obviously. On Friday afternoon, the Sandringham Dragons up against Dandenong Stingrays. The Stingrays got up in an absolute thriller against Tasmania last week, went right down to the wire. And we've got one of their stars and a potential first-round pick in Henry Huthwaite. Welcome to the drafts, Henry.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So you missed that game against Tassie. You and Sibba, Mitch Sibkowski, were out. You had a bit of an ankle injury. First off, will you be playing in the grand final on Friday?
Yeah. I'll be back. Mitch is back as well. So
big news.
Really handy. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
And another key in as well, you were sort of alluding to off air, the Morris medalist.
Taj's back as well. So, so that's pretty big for us. And that just got the boys even more excited. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Three massive wins. And how's the excitement levels with the grand final and then the Vic Country finale for you next week as well?
Training's been awesome this week. Everyone's just like so energized and up and about, so everyone's just looking forward to till tomorrow, and they can't wait any longer. So and the Vic Country, that game isn't far away either, so there won't be much time between the two, but just when we finish up tomorrow, we just gotta look forward to the Country versus Metro one. So
Henry, just on that, how do you narrow your focus, or do you find yourself having to narrow your focus to this week? Obviously, you got that big representative game coming up, and then hopefully even bigger things for you over the next few months. Obviously, it's hard not to think about what's going to happen, but have you found yourself having to narrow your focus or doing something different to just focus on Friday night?
I just try and take it as it comes. I try not look too far into the future. Try and focus on what's coming up and just the best way I can prepare myself for that. So, yeah, just try and not think about it too much and try to stay focused.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. I can imagine it'd be something difficult to do. But let's wind back a little bit to your season. How have you seen it? Obviously, from where we sit, we've seen you rise up draft boards around the country with your performances at NAB League level and at the champs. But personally, how have you seen your season this year, and how you'd be happy with the way you've built on what you've done previously?
I'm pretty happy with how the year's gone. I just try and stay consistent as I can be week in, week out. So, just whatever I can do to try and help the team win. Just try and put my best foot forward and do what I can. So just pretty happy with how things have gone this year, so hopefully things go our way tomorrow night.
Personally, on your own game, is there anything you think you may could have done better, or you said you're happy with the season, but looking back, is there anything that you would do differently or you're trying to work on now as you lead up to, say, the combine?
Just always focusing on the weaknesses. I try and put a lot of work into stuff that I'm not too good at, but always try to do the little extras. Maybe I could focus on it a bit more, because sometimes you just want to keep practicing your strengths. And so I think having that difference between the two and just knowing what to do and when to work on it, probably something I could probably try and focus on a bit more.
Won't make you dissect yourself too much here, but give us one of your weaknesses that you've been working on?
It's probably just my contested work, especially playing as a defender, those marking contests. At midfield, in the midfield, the stoppage stuff, like starting position, and just being a bit more physical and not getting beaten in those one-on-ones.
And you've split time between the defence and the midfield, as you mentioned this year. Where do you sort of see your best position? And for those that haven't seen you play at under 18 level, what do you think your strengths are as a player?
I'd probably see myself as a midfielder. That's just where I'm most comfortable, seeing I've done that throughout all juniors. So that's probably the position I see myself playing. And just probably my strengths with that, I'd probably say my decision-making. That's probably a big strength of mine, and just that poise around a contest to, you know, find that better option and be able to execute it. So I think, yeah, that's probably just those couple of things.
Yeah, poise and clean disposal has been on display, or you want to get your big strengths. But another string to your bow now is your height, your size, 194 centimetres now. I mean, you had a pretty big growth spurt that sort of changed your makeup significantly. How much have you grown, and how has it helped you in that midfield role, particularly at the championships of the country?
I've grown heaps over the last couple of years. I was really quite average through the middle of high school. And then just the last couple of years have been slowly building up and up. So
centimetres have you reckon you've grown through the last 2 years?
I think year nine, year eight, I was 175. So, it's been huge, really. With that height, I think playing as one of those tall defenders, that was really new to me last year. I was a little bit nervous about playing defence because I'd never really even been down there through juniors or any of that. So, just that height's helped me out a lot. I think just it's another little thing that helps with contests and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Are you still growing? Have you grown recently?
Since I've tested at the start of the year, I'd say maybe a centimetre or so, but okay. I have to wait to test properly. So fingers crossed, but I'm not too sure yet.
Yeah, and now speaking of that testing, I'm sure you speak to a lot of AFL clubs come those combines. But what sort of contact have you had with recruiters and clubs so far this year?
Yeah, no, it's been good. We've done the speed dating last year and stuff, so that's always good to get amongst it and see what they're about. Just a few interviews, kind of at home and on Zoom. So that's they're all a bit different, but it's good to have a difference between all of them. So it's been good.
Have you spoken to all clubs?
Not all of them. But just about half of them now. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, cool. And just tying that into the conversation about your position, obviously bouncing back through defence and in the midfield now, but growing up as a midfielder, have the clubs spoken to you yet or forecast to you about where they see you fitting in the best at the top level, if it were to happen?
Yeah. I think like most people I've talked to, they probably see me as kind of that midfielder, but they love the... I think they like the aspect of being versatile and being able to play back as well. So I think that's just a good thing to have as well, to be able to do both. Yep. So, I think hopefully that looks appealing. And I think, that helps out a bit.
See, there's plenty of tall midfielders in the comp at the moment. Are there any that you try to model your game on personally? Do you feel like you... are similar to any sort of taller midfielders in the comp at the moment?
I love watching Pendles and the Bomb. They're probably my two favourite. So I try and take things from their game and try and implement it into mine. Not that I think I play really like them, but I love watching them. And I just always try and do what I can to take things off them. So yeah.
No, you're too modest. I actually think there's definitely some Pendlebury sort of similarities there, the way you step through traffic and you seem to always just have time when others don't. But we asked Matheus Filippo this last week. Do you care personally about how high you go in the draft? You have some, I think some clubs would have you pegged as a top 10 selection on their draft boards, or are you more just happy to be on an AFL list and happy to go anywhere, whether that's in a state or in Victoria?
I'll be happy just if it happens. I think that'd be awesome. Mm. So I don't really mind about spots and all that. I just think for it to happen, that'd be bloody awesome. So yeah.
Matheus used the word, he said he was almost more excited about the thought of moving into state. What do you feel about moving away from home?
Yeah, no, I'd definitely be up for it. I don't think it'd bother me too much. I think, moving away from family and friends would be hard, but I think once you get into that environment, you'll get used to it pretty quick and fit in nicely. So I think they're always a phone call away. So I think, it's just something that wouldn't really worry me. I'd definitely be willing to move.
For sure. And you're not the only draftable player at the Stingrays this year. I mean, who are your mates there at the Stingrays, and who do you feel deserves a spot on an AFL list from your NAB League club?
Yeah, I'm really tight with. I've got Taj, there's Finn and Jesse that I go to school with as well. So I'd probably say they're my closest ones. We're a really tight group at Stingrays. So like all those Vic Country boys, there's Harry Jones, Hugo. There's a really big group of us that are pretty tight. I think, that helps with the chemistry on field. So it's just, I think we're all a really tight group. So it's good.
Did any opponent, whether it's in the NAB League or any of the other states at the National Carnival, anyone that you played against that, Dan and I have spoken about, or the guys in the draft, anyone caught your eye more than someone else that, that you think, well, wow, he can play and, I might see him in the next level?
Yeah. A couple games to finish off the year. Harley Reid from Bendigo. He was really hard to play against. He's pretty physical. So that kind of surprised me. What he does is pretty unreal. So he's just, and another one in our last game, Zane Dersma from Gippy. He's just, the way he goes about it, he's super solid. So really looking forward to see what they can do.
And just
big
for context,
there for next year.
Yeah, for next year, I mean, listeners, that's two guys in the 2023 draft. So that's obviously, some big praise there from Henry. Obviously, Mitch Sibowski has joined. I keep butchering that name. It's Sibowski, isn't it, Henry?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. I don't actually know either. I just call him Sibba. So
we'll call him Sibba then.
But
Sibba, I mean, have you seen his season? He has been touted as well as a first round draft pick. Obviously, been with you, the Stingrays, as well. How have you seen his season from your perspective?
Yeah, all these games at Stingrays, Vic Country, so consistent. Just an absolute workhorse. His craft in the midfield, it's like no other. So he, just what he does is pretty unreal. And obviously he played school footy this year, so missed a bit of a chunk throughout the year. So that was good to get him back for those games that we had. And he's just a leader from the front. So I think all us boys try and follow in his footsteps.
Moving away from footy a little bit, it's already a big year, footy and draft wise to think about. But you're obviously still in your final year of school. How's that going? How have you juggled all those commitments?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm doing VCAL, so my commitments to school are a bit easier than some of the VCE boys. But if footy doesn't work out, I kind of saw myself as doing a trade. So. That's just my selected trade is going to be carpentry. So that's what I do at trade school. And on Fridays, I work on site with a group. So yeah, that's been awesome to kind of break up schooling, because I like going to school just for kind of the social part. But I wasn't too good with the working stuff. So I just kind of look for a change. So yeah.
No, great. I mean, everyone's good at different things. So it's great that you sort of identified that as the path you want to go on. I mean, yeah, it's certainly a bit very intensive doing a carpentry trade. How have you found that, balancing that with footy? You know, you say even later in the week you're doing a work on site. Does it take a toll on the body a bit?
Yeah, at the start it was a bit different. Like, kind of surprised me how tired you could get. Yeah. but yeah, it was like sometimes throughout the year, Fridays they've been taken up by footy, so I've missed out on a few weeks here and there. But yeah, it's been awesome. I'm doing it with my brother's group, so that's he's kind of showing me how it's done, which is really helpful. So that's been awesome.
And what does the next couple of months look like for you after the footy's done in a couple of weeks' time? Obviously, the combine coming up. Are you doing anything differently with your training? Are you doing obviously a bit extra when the actual games stop? How are you going to approach this for the next couple of months before hopefully you do find a home?
Once that country game's over, just try and stay fit, stay active, just try and be ready for the combine to test it at my best. So I think once that is all over, I'll probably chill out for a bit, have a break. So yeah, won't be long before getting back into it all. Just looking forward to it.
Good idea.
Yeah, fantastic, yeah. Mate. And just finally, obviously, Friday the big dance, and then next week Vic Country v Vic Metro, absolute showdown there. Who's your tip for both those games?
I want to say us for tonight. So,
good. Good.
Yeah, like we're pretty confident. We feel like the way we play. It's pretty hard to stop. So we just try and focus on what we can do. And we'll hopefully try and get it done. And for the country metro one, I think we'll be close. They've got a really solid squad. So I'm hoping it'll be us, but I think it'll be very tight either way. So, just hopefully wait and see.
We like that confidence. You had to pick yourself there, Dan, try to trip you up there, see if you flip up. But good to see you back. It's you and your teammates in. But, Henry, we appreciate your time here on the draft. Thanks for coming to have a chat about all things footy and the AFL draft. We wish you all the best Friday night, the Champs game, and then in November as well. We hopefully look forward to seeing you in action next year.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Welcome back to the draft. Another impressive draft prospect there, Henry Huss-Waite. Again, we appreciate his time coming on and chatting with us. Dan, of course, a guy I had a little bit higher than you. Tried to butter him up there a little bit. Tried to just pretend like it didn't happen last week, but I had him a little bit higher.
You did. I might have to put him a bit higher, because obviously he would have interviewed plenty of clubs and I'm sure they'd be impressed. He was certainly impressive. And very modest guy, apart from when we asked him about the tip at the end there. But no, you've got to have confidence in your team, and it would be a bit of an upset, I think, for the Stingrays, even though they have been great for the whole season. But obviously, the talent that Sandry Ham possesses, plenty invited to the draft combine, the national combine. So sure to be an interesting clash, I think.
I was a bit worried. It was very impressive, spoke well. I was a bit worried at the start of it, though. You sort of went straight in with the nickname approach and Sibba. I thought, geez, you and Henry, who the hell is Sibba? But you obviously on a nickname basis with Sizbukowski or Siz...
Jordan just absolutely trying to get that out. I went with Sibba first off, just because it is such a hard name to say. There's a lot of consonants mixed in together, but I think it is Sibowski. It's a silent K, sure. I went Sikowski first. So anyway, we'll move forward. Jordan, yes. Looking forward to this weekend and also looking back to the previous one. Who caught your eye?
Yes, some big footy over here. We'll touch on the under 18 grand final shortly, but the senior footy over here in the Sandful, Nord knocked off the Crows reserves in a big. It wasn't an upset because Nord pretty good last week, but 2 weeks ago, the Crows accounted for Nord pretty comfortably. So the Nord to come back and pinch the game, and they'll play North Adelaide in the grand final on Sunday. But there was one player who we've spoken about a little bit who really made his mark in the prelim, Bane and Lowe. Tassie Devils BNF runner-up in the NAB League last year was pretty good as a midfielder over there in the NAB League, a ball winner. Got forward and was overlooked, though. Made his way over to the Sandful. I think Nord coach Jade Rawlings had a connection in Tasmania and got Bane and Lowe across. And he's been great. He's kicked 24 goals, 12 now in his 17 matches. He'll test at the state combine as well. So he's got some interest as a small forward. His forward craft and his goal sense really come to the fore this year, playing as a pure small forward. And nice turn of speed as well, which he showed on the weekend. At the 21-minute mark of that game, Nord still trailed by 14 points. So 21-minute mark of the third term, I should say. Nord trailed by 14 points. The next 16 minutes of game time, I think by about the 6 or 7-minute mark of the last quarter. In that period, 16 minutes of game time, Lowe kicked 3 goals, 1. Wow. Put the legs back in the game and they ran away with it. So he turned the game, came in here on in the office on Monday morning, spoke to Andrew Capel, our Sandful man, and we both agreed that he was the man to turn the game, Bane and Lowe, and put Nord pretty much into a grand final. So you can get on our Twitter accounts now. I think I've retweeted his all 4 goals on my Twitter account to look at those. And the first one was probably the best in that third term. There was a bit of a deadlock in the game. And all he just accelerated past a group of Crows players. It pretty much broke the ankles of, using a basketball term, of James Borlase, the Crows defender, sidestepped him and finished off there and gave them a real sniff and then obviously carried on in the last quarter. So interesting to see what he can do this week. Another big performance on the biggest stage in SA footy would really put him right back in the draft conversation. Dan, have you watched much of him? Did you see much of him last year? I know we discussed him briefly in a Mature Ages show, but just any of those goals on the weekend?
I actually haven't. I'll have to catch up on your Twitter feed, Jordan. Absolutely all over it there. I mean, yeah, he's Tassie Devils NAB League best and fairest last year. He was a little bit off Broadway, I think, at that stage, playing mostly as a midfielder and didn't really get too much of a look in. Often those Tassie guys, as we've mentioned on previous episodes, don't probably get the love that they deserve. But the fact that he's done it now at Sandful level, even Brett Turner had a massive game against the Crows earlier in the year. Crows scouts obviously took interest and drafted him in the mid-season draft. And who knows, do you think he could be of interest to one of the South Australian sides at the drafts?
Could be, yes. There's definitely been plenty of interest. Andrew Capel, there'll be a story for our SA listeners in the Sunday Mail. We spoke to Bane and Lowe during the week, and Bane did confirm that there's been some significant interest in him through his manager. And he actually says in that story as well that pretty much the first time he's played as a pure small forward. So I think the clubs like the base he's built there and what he's done so far, even though it's pretty new to him in terms of playing purely inside 50 or in the forward half of the ground. So he's shown a lot considering that. So I think there's a lot to work on there. And yeah, right in front of the noses of a Port and the Crows. We saw Jimmy Rowe a few years back dominate in a similar role through the Sandful season, then on the big stage as well. And he's obviously got picked up and still at the Crows now. So could follow a similar path to him, but he's one I'll be watching pretty closely on Sunday. But Friday night, the juniors are going on the Friday night, like over there in the NAB League. Glenelg will take on North Adelaide in the under-18s grand final, Adelaide Oval, Friday night. Good to see them in action there on the big deck of Adelaide Oval. The big names are in Isaac Keeler and Billy Dowling for North, Archie Lovelock and Jacob Ryan for Glenelg. So plenty of interesting prospects too, Dan. Now, a lot of talent there, but some differing views. So it'd be interesting, a really big game for not only them and their teams, but I think for them and their draft chances.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been speaking to a couple of recruiters during the week, though. They said they were heading up to Adelaide to watch, which obviously is, I think, big for some prospects that do have some polarizing views. I thought actually Lovelock was quite impressive during the championships as that sort of medium forward. Billy Dowling can just win a mountain of the footy. Isaac Keeler, I mean, for me, he's probably the third best key forward in the pool. And obviously what he can do in the ruck as well. And Jacob Ryan, I mean, he just keeps on racking up the footy. So, and even you saw last week, I was watching a bit of the reserves, Kobe Ryan, no relation, of course, but he was his side's best in their preliminary final loss, had about 29 and a goal, has been racking it up at reserves level. So, yeah, I think there's plenty going on in the South Australian prospects. And yeah, hopefully a few of them can put their name forward even further for the chance to sort of stake their claim and really assert themselves as draft prospects this year.
Yeah, we know Billy Dowling's had plenty of interest. I think it was just on the edges of our top 30 as well, or mine in particular. And club by club, draft guide with Chris Kavanagh and Matt Turner is online, advertiser.com.au. heraldsun.com.au. We look at the prospects who could fit and will be in the mix at every one of the 18 clubs. So get on there and check it out now. But Billy Dowling spoke to North Melbourne during the week. So obviously not the only club that is into him, but so a big night, Friday night for some of those guys.
For sure. You've had enough South Australian glory.
Got a bit in,
Jordan.
Well, the recruiters are coming over here, so they're skipping the NAB League Grand Final. forget about that. This is where the business is this weekend.
You've had enough talking about your boy Bain and Lowe. I'm going to talk about a guy who I'm claiming is my man in 198 centimeter intercept defender Ethan Phillips. Won the Fothergill Round Mitchell Medal for the VFL's best young player earlier this week. We identified him about a month ago in our mature ages wrap. He was absolutely killing it. And just for a bit of context for that Fothergill Round Mitchell Medal, I think the last 14 players who've won it have been drafted. You look at Charlie Dean last year, Bailey Fritch, Luke Ryan, Kane Lambert, some fair pedigree in there. And try these numbers on for size for Ethan Phillips. So this year for Port Melbourne, he racked up 11.5 intercept per game, which was an all-time record in the competition. Ooh. and 5.1 intercept marks per game, which was second of all time. And so he eclipsed Sam Collins for the intercepts per game and came second by about 0.1 to Sam Collins, and that was his season in 2018 that saw him picked up by the Suns. So by those odds, you'd say that Ethan Phillips has a good chance of landing on an AFL list next year just based on those numbers. Five clubs have shown interest in the key defender, and unlike Bain and Lowe, he doesn't actually have a manager at the moment. But so I think he probably should get onto that or be fielding plenty of calls, I think, because you look at teams across the competition, they're in, key defenders are in short supply, especially those who can win the ball back off the opposition. And he's a good size. He's 23, 198 centimeters, as I said. I can play on those big boys. So I think he's going to be of interest to clubs come the end of the year.
You have to keep your phone on. You might get a call. You might leave the drafts and take on B's manager. You can maybe get signed Sibber up next year as well. But no, that medal pretty much is a ticket, pretty close ticket to the AFL. So one, he's definitely one to keep an eye on. And you're right, the type of player is fits in well with what a lot of clubs need going forward. All right, we'll take one more break here on the drafts. We have a few questions come through on Twitter. And of course, if you want to be part of the show going forward, at Jordan Pinto with the zero and at Dan Batten _, get on there. We'll take questions. We'll take abuse. We'll take comments. We'll take anything. Just join in, be part of the show.
Pronunciations of Mitch Sebowski.
if Mitch wants to come on as well, you can get us there. But we're back. We've got a few lined up this week, so we'll be back after the break. It's question time here on the drafts. A few interesting ones through on Twitter. We thank, again, everyone for listening, everyone who wants to be part of the show. Obviously, next couple of big months for the draft. So, again, get us at us on Twitter if you want to be part of it going forward. But G. Wesmo on Twitter's tweeted us an interesting one, Dan. What specifics are used to assess each draft prospect to allow you to order them from top down? Now, probably directed at us, and then obviously how maybe the recruiters do it at Clubland as well.
Yeah, it's a really great question. I think the beauty of it is that everyone does see it differently. You know, they might have a key forward a bit higher, or we might have a key forward a bit higher because there's not as many key forwards in the pool, for instance. But I guess it's purely just based on having, you know, breaking down a talent list. And part of the way I think that I try to do it is looking against the performance against the opposition and sort of putting weightings on different leagues. So, for instance, you probably have the sample under 18s, which isn't as high a standard as, say, the NAB League over in Victoria. But then you might have some kids playing some sample footy or waffle footy and exceeding at that level. And then, you know, I think that that sort of improves their standing in my eyes especially. And another key thing I think is to look at, you know, you might have some midfielders and some underage ball winners who can just, you know, win them out of the footy, but, you know, their skills may not necessarily translate to the next level. For example, they might not have the speed or, you know, the endurance or, you know, or other stuff like that. And I think it's important to look at the attributes and say, are those attributes transferable to the next level, especially to the different roles, like maybe a small forward or, you know, a lockdown defender or something like that. But yeah. Obviously stats come into it as well, but I think it's more the moments and the impact. Like you look at a guy like Harry Sheasel, he might not be averaging as many numbers as say a Sardis or a Wardlaw, but you know, I think what he can do as a forward target, his influence on games, his ability to break games open, you know, is in my eyes, it has him just narrowly ahead. So, yeah, there's as I sort of alluded to off the top, you know, everyone does see it differently, which is great. And yeah, that's what makes the draft so fascinating, I think, in terms of where clubs rate each prospect.
Yeah, and those real top end level traits is how you sort of split guys as well. Obviously, a lot of players, a lot of kids around the country do a lot of things well to be playing in these pathway programs and highest level junior footy in each state. But the guys that got those real top end traits, and that's why sometimes you look at overlook the footballers. Some clubs overlook footballers that do a lot of things well and take the player that is real top end in one area and just really focus and work on that. And they look at where they can develop those different skills at the top level. They might see a little bit less from some guys, but what they see is more in their eyes in terms of bigger picture and what they can do with those specific traits or skills. And obviously with the weightings thing, that's where the whole analytics side of recruiting, I think, comes in. We know the different programs help the clubs assess the different levels of footy these kids are playing based on data over the years. So it's an interesting debate. And just, I guess, on the way we do it, before that, you know, the character of the player too, you know, that's a difficult part about it. We spoke with Richmond recruiting manager last year on the show, Matt Clark, about, you know, the mental side and the psychology side of recruiting. And it's obviously difficult to assess. And they're still kids, teenagers. Yeah. Coming out of high school. So obviously they put a lot of work into the background and who they are and what they, what makes them tick and what could set them off. Or so there's that part of it is fascinating too. And obviously something that you and I don't get to do as much of. We don't get to sort of meet these guys as in-depthly as the clubs do. But that's why in our list, we watch a lot of footy, a lot of different footy around the country. We spend most of our weeks doing that, Dan. But
a little too long, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, some would say. that we obviously take the word, speak to clubs as well, and take their word for things as well, and mix it what their views into our own personal views is how we sort of work out our rankings. Our top 30 rankings saw it go live last week, so bit of an insight there into that. Good question. Another one, Corey Sutton. Now, good man, Corey Sutton. Now we do a lot of work online, and a lot of our photos often are Corey Sutton, who takes some great photos out at Sandful Footy. Crows fans, would like to know your thoughts on Phoenix Foster from Noor. Reckon he could be a good fit for the Crows. Interesting one, Matheus Filippo. Last week mentioned Phoenix Foster as one who has impressed him. Some pretty good performances in the back end of the year, kicking a lot of goals. Foster 4-3-2-3-2 to finish the year at under 18 level. Obviously made a mark with his willingness and then get the team over the line and attack the footy. Attacks it. He's a good athlete. He attacks the footy and marks at the highest point. As well, and you know, against North in round 19, 21 disposals, 3 contested marks, and 3 goals for Phoenix Foster. And done a little bit of ruck work at times too, but slightly undersized. But get probably for a top level ruckman. But so the way he moves around the ground does make for an interesting prospect, and he'll test at the national combine. And Corey, I do agree the Crows do need to bolstered their sort of big man stocks, but they're better off going after a real pure ruckman rather than maybe a forward first, which Foster is. And of course, this is when it goes into the debate about how they're going to develop some of the next level. Clubs see different players as different things than other clubs, and how we see it. But definitely one to look out for. We'll test at the national combine. Got a lot of good attributes as well. So one, again, if you. Depends what happens with the Crows draft hand. Corey Phoenix Foster could be there later on if you miss out on sort of those top level ruck prospects, which we debated last week. Do clubs go early? Do they overlook? Do they wait for someone else to develop them? So yeah, the big man game in the draft department is an interesting one.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Foster, I mean, he was getting picked over Tom Scully and Harry Lemmy at times during the championships. Yeah. Which I think is a nod to what he can do, his versatility, his ability in the air, and as you said, his ability to work around the ground as well. So I think he's certainly one to watch, and he's certainly one of the top handful of ruck forward prospects in this draft. I'm going to pose another question. Henry Hussway mentioned him earlier as one of the better players he'd played against this year in Harley Reid, which is saying a lot considering he's not draft eligible until next year. This was a question posed to me by Declan Reeve. Shout out to him from Rookie Me Central, one of their, one of their contributors there, one of their draft
good
watchers.
Work. That's some good. Yep.
So he asked, is there anyone that you would take from this draft before Harley Reid? I think it's actually a really good question because I think some recruiters would view him as a top 3 prospect in this draft.
Yeah, it is interesting from what he's done and where he's done it across multiple positions, across multiple levels. It's an interesting question because he's obviously got more upside as well. It's another 12 months before he's at the same age of these guys. So,
yeah.
We'll say
if he was 18, we'll pretend he's 18 for the sake of this argument. Where would you pick him? Would you have him ahead of Sardis, Sheasel?
Are we including Will Ashcroft in this one, or are we taking him at the top?
We are. But yeah, we'll say that Ashcroft's his open pool for this one. Like, would you pick him over Ashcroft?
I probably wouldn't pick him over Ashcroft, I think, on the body of work Ashcroft's done. But you'd probably lean towards taking him next, I reckon. You could definitely make that argument that he has as much upside and can have a. Well, he's younger, but he's not lightly built. He looks ready to sort of play. He's going to be probably playing next year, and clubs are going to be saying, oh, he'd be being our best 22, July next year. He could be playing AFL right then. Probably at 2. What do you think?
Yeah, I think for me, I'd probably It depends how, I guess, Sardis or even Wardlaw, if he plays in that Vic Metro game, or potentially even how Harry Sheasel goes. I want to see them in one more game. But, I mean, just the fact that Harley Reid was, he hadn't played in defence before, and then he was just thrown into defence during the National Championships and was one of the top-ranked players and saved the game at one point from there. And then what he's been able to do through the midfield later in the year and up forward, where he has so much spark. He has some attitude, which you absolutely love. In their final, when they went down to Tassie a couple of weeks ago, took an absolute screamer over the top. He's got aerial traits. He's got a bit of Dusty Fendoff action about him as well. So he's so well-rounded. And you'd think at the moment he's the number one pick favourite for next year. Obviously, a lot of water to go under the bridge, but such an exciting talent. And just to answer the question, I think I'd probably have him at 3 or 4. Obviously a lot of water to go under the bridge, but yeah, I'd say that he's a top 3, top 4 talent in this draft if he was in this pool.
Yeah, it's a completely different question if you're saying, would you take him if he was eligible, if he was 18? Versus the question, would you take a bottom age Harley Reid over these guys? Just say you could put Harley Reid on your list now and he couldn't play for a year. Would you take him? Where would you take him?
That's even like the Braden George sort of question with the going down with an ACL. So that probably pushes him back further. But if he was able to play this, like, you know, back in the day, he was even like Tim Watson playing at 16 and whatever, then yeah, I think he would certainly be that top 3, top 4 mix. I think you have another question there, George, to finish up.
On pick one, staying there, Jay Luca on Twitter says, are there any murmurs of interest for the Roos as pick one? And if the Roos keep it, are they leaning towards anyone specifically? We looked at North as part of our club-by-club draft guide, as we mentioned online. Now go in there and check it out. And we did raise that question. We've raised it on the show before. Could this be the draft? Given the number one talent is off the table and tied to Brisbane and Will Ashcroft, is this the draft that the Roos do accept a massive offer for the first open pick in the draft? It's definitely something they could weigh up and drop back a little bit depending on what else happens. You know, Richmond are going to be armed with a lot of high-end picks. The Swans have a few picks in the 20s, inside 20 as well. So interesting to see what they do. But, you know, if they do keep the pick, those three players, Sardis, Wardlaw and Sheasel, all add a point of difference. I think particularly Sardis and Sheasel add something very different to what North already have. The line-breaking outside run and class of Sardis goes in with, you know, the Simpkins, the Davies Uniacs, the Greenwoods, the Tom Powers, what they've already got. I think he'd be great fit. And then a match winner like Sheasel, you know, he can turn a game like no other, probably in that North side as well once he gets going. So I like those two. But Aaron Cadman,
spoke
North, you know, they overlooked Logan McDonald a couple of years ago, went with Will Phillips. You know, is this the year they take the key forward to partner with Nick Larkey? Jeremy Cameron like key forward, and I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating one considering they've taken so many midfielders over the past three or 4 years. And unfortunately, this year isn't the year for that. We've been stacked with tools. Obviously, 2020 draft, there was just, you know, so many tools at the top end. And this year, you probably only got Cadman and Jefferson. And some may not even have Jefferson in, Cadman in their top five. Some may. It'll be interesting to see what the Roos do. And I think a lot of what the decision they make with their pick one will come down to what happens with whether they get a compensation pick, which has sort of been, you know, the word has been that it could be the end of first round. So that'll be another interesting watch as well. They might think that they can potentially get a tall later on or get a midfielder later on in that first round. And as you said, I think it's going to be a really fascinating trade period as well, and free agency. And you look at the first round, it might even be bumped up to about 24 when the bids come in for Ashcroft, potentially Elwyn Davey, even Jasper Fletcher, and then compensation picks for Dan McStay and Carl Amon. So, yeah, that first round could be end up being about 25 picks in the end.
Yep, indeed. Going to be a busy couple of months for us here as well on the drafts, dissecting, analysing, talking about what the trade period means, what are those pick swaps, potential pick swaps, and, of course, the final weekends and the final matches of footy with the big grand finals on Friday and that last champs game leading in to the draft combine. It's going to be a big month and a half, Dan. Again, if you haven't seen our draft club by club guide that we've been discussing, heraldsun.com, the advertiser.com, the state of play at every club, the picks, the prospects in the mix, latest trade news, everything you need to know about where the draft sits as we speak. Get on and have a look at that now and join us back here next week for another episode of The Draft.
Go Stingrays.